Hello, I'm Mark Steiner. Welcome back. This is what you call live radio. You never know what's going to happen when your show is live. Things go up, things go down. So Ben Crump is still in the air on a plane. And when he gets back down on the ground, we maybe get to him and Tracy Martin. And if not today, we'll do it in the next couple of days. And I think that Edward Wyckoff Williams took pity on me and has called back in. Edward, you there? He's not there. Edward's gone. So they're going to get him back on. 410-319-8888 is the number here. I'm curious to see how many of you went to the March on Washington this weekend. If you did go, we met a number of folks from Baltimore. It was really an amazing time. And I'd love to hear your reflections on that, your thoughts on maybe some of the shows we had on here earlier today. I'll come back to these young people from Newlands, who I thought were just utterly amazing. And what they're trying to do in our community. They need to be heard. They need to have their own voice on the airwaves to be heard. We don't hear enough of that, I think. But if you were there this weekend, I'd really love to hear what you thought. I don't know if my dear friend Leo Burrows had gone. He was going to go. He was there in the march in 63. I was there in 63. It was a very different feel than what happened in this particular march when we got there first. We were worried that there were not enough numbers there. What things I did see, even though it was an interracial march, the march was predominantly African-American, and I wish I had seen more young black activists in this march. I think a lot of people who were active politically didn't come because they thought of it as Al Sharpton. They thought of it as another MSNBC march, thought of it as a march that was being promoted by the government of Obama's White House, and maybe some aspect of that was there, but the reality is that what you saw on that march, what you saw on that march was something very different, and the energy in that march was amazing. But let's go to the phones here for a moment. We do have Natalie Jackson with us. She's a local counsel for the Martin family. She's on the phone with us. Natalie Jackson, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Thanks, Mark. It's great to be with you.
Thank you for taking the time with us today.
Of course.
So my wife just texted me. What did she just say? Yes, I meant young white activists. We needed more of them there yesterday. That's what I meant to say. Oh, that's March on Washington. Oh, that took place on Saturday. But so, Natalie, you're in Florida?
I'm in Washington, D.C., on my way back home to Florida.
Okay. So this is, I've been really interested to see the reactions of Tracy Martin and Sybil Fulton together about their son in the aftermath of this trial. I think that one of the reasons we wanted to have them both on, and we will get them both on eventually, is the humanity that these two people have shown in this process.
Yes. Well, and you will have them on. Sorry about today.
No. Those things happen. You know, do not sweat the small stuff in life. Life goes on. It'll happen. So.
Okay. Well, talking about the, I have seen them, and I have seen the grace that they've had under this pressure. I think a lot of people don't realize that they started really their activism, 2 weeks after their son died. They've been on the road traveling, trying to make sure people understand that who their son was and that he did not deserve this.
Well, one of the things that
I think it grew.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead, Natalie, please.
I think it grew to where, even for them, it's personal because it's about Trayvon, but I do feel that, as Sabrina said, she feels the responsibility to make sure this never happens to anyone's child.
And so, and it's that, some of the scenes I think were important for America to understand here. That's why I would love to see a broader American audience really hear the two of them, to hear their voices and not have
right.
It just kind of limited to, sometimes it gets limited to mostly African-American media outlets. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sometimes it is. Yeah, and I agree with you. I think that what the message that Sabrina and Tracy has is a message for everyone. It's a message for America. And it's really that, we all have to come together to protect children. We saw it from Sandy Hook to Trayvon to all these children. These guns, they proliferate America. And it's not, as Sabrina said, it's not about taking away people's rights. That's not what she wants. Her father was a police officer. She has family members who have concealed weapons. But it's about making sure and holding these people responsible when they have guns. There's a responsibility that comes with guns. And we can't say, it's just a free-for-all.
And one of the things that Trayvon Martin's father Tracy, some of the things that people did not quote a lot in the major media, that he said was talking about what it was to be a father for him. When he said things that he said things, when these quotes just really, really, really grab you. When he said, I thought about when he was talking about growing up with Trayvon. Here's what a quote I want to read to you. He says, "I have to fight for Trayvon and all who look like him." He said, "There's an assumption by many in this country that our boys aren't valuable and don't have the right to walk home with iced tea and Skittles without being considered criminals. There's an assumption they aren't raised well and aren't loved. My son was loved and was raised to respect authority. He knew how to handle himself, but wasn't enough for that night." And he talked about how he was, you know, the kind of human being he was. And we have this crazy assumption all the time that he is really working hard to dissuade America of that black men are involved in children's lives. They do love their sons. That picture of him kissing his son was said at all.
That's my favorite picture.
My favorite picture, too. I love that picture.
It is. And, you know, when I first met Tracy, the first day I met him, that's what he told me. He said, you know, "I used to always kiss on Trayvon, and sometimes I do it to embarrass him because as he got older, he was embarrassed when his dad kissed him. But he said he wanted to let him know that he was loved."
You know, we did a stat on the show the other day after the comment was made by the CNN host and all the controversy was surrounded that. And we did some research, and one of the things we came up with the research, and we really want to have the people who authored this research on our show to talk about it. They said of all the populations in America who are unwed fathers, the population that has the greatest involvement in their children's lives of unwed fathers are black men in America. That's a study that we don't talk about. That gets left in the back, and I think one of the things that not saying Trayvon's mother and dad were together once, but that he was so deeply involved in his life, we have to break that myth, and that makes the death of Trayvon all the more profound and all the more sad.
And I think that's one of the things. You know, we get letters from people who say that they love seeing Tracy and Sabrina united on this, even though they're divorced. And they've been divorced since Trayvon was like 3 years old.
Right.
But he's always been involved in his son's life. And Sabrina has always, they've always co-parented Trayvon. So I think that, you know, for a lot of the young people that we get messages from, a lot of them really look up to Tracy because they just admire that, you know, Tracy is out there fighting for the legacy of his son.
So tell us a bit about the foundation and what that's trying to do and what they're trying to do with this foundation.
Okay, well, the foundation is helping people. They're helping people who have been victims of senseless violence. So that's one of the things. I know they're having these meetings with parents who've gone through this, and they're helping other parents who go through this. Now, the foundation is separate from this Change for Trayvon. So there's two different things because the foundation is nonprofit. Can't be political. So they do a lot of out to other parents who've gone through this, such as Jordan Davis's parents in Jacksonville, Florida. And they're also doing different types of training and stuff for boys. But the Change for Trayvon is a political activism sort of thing, where they're going around all these states and they're talking about stand your ground laws, and they're trying to get the Trayvon Martin Act passed in all these different states. And simply, the Trayvon Martin Act says that you cannot pursue someone and you cannot confront them and cause the confrontation and then claim stand your ground. That's a dangerous, dangerous precedent to set with law. So, and they're in over 20 states. So that's what they're doing. They're traveling around to all these states, and they're talking to legislators, they're talking to voters, and they're telling them about, you know, these laws and how we need to change them and fix them.
So before we let you run, Natalie Jackson, I know you have to go, but you were in D.C. with Trayvon's parents for the march, right?
Yes, I was.
We were there as well, and I'm curious your reaction to the march.
I think for them, it was, you know, it was bittersweet because they saw that, you know, everyone is affected by the dream, and that's what we want. We want to end racial profiling. We want to become where every citizen is considered equal. That has been a really big push of theirs, is to make sure that we end racial profiling and end profiling in general of all people, so that everyone will be just considered American and respected for their different points of view in America. And just let people know that it's okay to be an African-American or a Black American. But the key is that we're all equal and all the same. So I think for them, I was talking to Sabrina. She seemed very happy there. And I think it was motivating to see all the different races come together and show that they were concerned, because this march was certainly multiracial, just like the march 50 years ago. And I think that's what many people think, that, you know, this is a divisive issue, Black or white issue. And there's so many people that just care that everybody is safe and everybody is treated equal, no matter what race. And that's what's the heartening part about.
Natalie Jackson, who is a local attorney for Tracy Martin and Sabrina Fulton, the parents of Trayvon Martin. Now, thank you so much for jumping in and joining our conversation today.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Fly safe.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Mark Steiner. We're back. This has just been one of those days. It's live radio, but Ben Crump is on the ground, attorney for the Trayvon Martin family. And Ben, welcome back. Good to have you with us. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning.
Good. Thank you for jumping in here. I know that it's been a crazy day. You've been stuck on the plane, and we'll, of course, rearrange our interview time with Tracy Martin for another day.
I apologize, Mark. It's just been traveling. I'm at the luggage plane, but I want to call and thank you and your listeners, and also update you on any issues and questions that you have about what we're doing with this Trayvon Martin Amendment, so we can get some sense of justice.
Talk about the Trayvon Martin Amendment. I mean, I think many people are not aware of this at all.
It is, as we told the folks at the March on Washington, it's time for us to move the conversation to legislation. President Obama asked that we have this conversation after this devastating verdict. And the big thing is we have to do something about it. The Trayvon Martin Amendment stands for the proposition that you cannot be the initial aggressor. You cannot start the confrontation and pick the fight and then shoot somebody and say, I was standing my ground. It just flies in the face of common sense. And so we are looking at all these standing ground states around the country, all 26 of them, and we are going to try to get every state legislature to put the Trayvon Martin Amendment to the standing ground laws. And we understand it's going to be a challenge, much in the same way after Emmett Till was killed and his mother and family understood that that was the spark to the Civil Rights Act in 1964. It took almost a decade. And she went to her grave at least knowing that something positive came from her son's tragic killing. And we pray and hope that Tracy and Sabrina can know after this Trayvon Martin Amendment is passed that something positive came from something negative, and that their son's death was not in vain.
So you have to, this struggle that the two of them and other people are making has to go to all 26 states, though, right? You have to fight this state by state?
Yeah, it has to go state by state, unfortunately. There is a Trayvon Martin law that they have put the name to in Congress, which is a anti-racial profiling law that will be federal, but as it relates to the Trayvon Martin Amendment to these stand your ground laws, it would have to go state by state. And we understand that during this midterm election, we may be able to get some of the states. We won't be able to get all of the states, but that's why we're urging so many people, especially young people, to register to vote, to become Trayvon Martin voters, and go to the polls. Some of these governors, you have to remember, Mark, in Florida, our governor who believes in the stand your ground law only won by 60,000 votes.
Wow.
And the midterm election, our community normally doesn't come out to vote like we do in presidential elections. So what we're hoping is that the emotion over the Trayvon Martin verdict and the tragedy will drive people to the polls to vote in ways that we've never seen. And if we can get these young people to vote, then we think we've really got a chance in some key states on helping President Obama with his congressional picking up people who are favorable in Congress as well as trying to change these laws to protect our children.
Well, Ben Crum, I appreciate you taking this time. I'm glad you landed safe. We look forward to talking to you and to Tracy Martin and Sabrina Fulton someday very soon again. We will help you push this fight on the air.
We appreciate it. We need Trayvon Martin voters for the midterm election.
Yes, we do. Take care, Ben Crump. Be safe.
All right, God bless.
Ben Crump is principal with the Tallahassee firm of Parks and Crump. They represent Tracy Martin and Sabrina Fulton, the parents of Trayvon Martin. I want to thank all of you for joining us, even in this madcap last half hour that we've had. It's good to have you all with us here on the Mark Steiner Show here on WEAA. Reminding you, the Mark Steiner Show is sponsored in part by the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. Mortgage late? Don't wait. If you're struggling with your mortgage, the state of Maryland can even help you with housing counseling and legal assistance. Maryland's HOPE program can help you understand the state's mediation law and the Attorney General's national foreclosure settlement. Don't wait. Get help today. More information at mdhope.org or at 877-462-7555. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Mark Gunnery and Stephanie Mavronis. Our engineer is Andrea Melton. Our intern is Daniel Dupree. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. You can go to steinershow.org to download podcasts and find information about our guests, what they've written, what they've been talking about. You can also listen to and download our podcasts on iTunes. And for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, I'm Mark Steiner. Stay tuned now for Michelle Martin and Tell Me More. Take care. We'll talk tomorrow.